Powered only by the wind and the sun, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The porta potty of Medicare podcasts. It's a dog eat dog world and he wears milk bone underwear. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, 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 look what we have today, ladies and gentlemen. It's another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Speaking of exciting, I'm pretty excited to have you here with me. And by me, I'm saying that I am your Medicare expert for today. You might have heard my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, announce my presence. Well, it's nice to have somebody announce your presence all the time, but I just want to say welcome to our podcast, our Medicare podcast. The whole point of doing this is to help you feel confident about the approach of Medicare in your life. And the best tool that I have to offer you is a copy of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. The way to get my book is to go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com and type in Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Don't forget those numbers, because if you accidentally forget the numbers, you might wind up with an older edition. And of course, you want to get the very newest edition hot off the presses. And once you have my book in your hands, you know, these places where you can buy the book will actually send it to you. You don't have to go to them. They'll send you the paperback book, which seems to be the hottest selling edition of the book. That's an $8 item. They will send you the hardcover book if you want. That's a $22 item, but it makes a terrific gift for those that are loved ones or, you know, highly respected friends and neighbors that may be approaching Medicare. This would be an excellent gift for people in that situation. They will also send you the electronic version, the ebook or the Kindle version of the book. That's a very inexpensive item at under $4. And of course, then we can have the Audible edition sent to you, which is completely electronic and allows you to listen. And the only thing you have to do is keep the flies from flying into your mouth as you wonder at the magnificence of the Medicare knowledge that is being spoon-fed to you. So any of those editions of the book is going to give you excellent advice as it relates to Medicare, what you should do, when you should do it, and how to ensure that your encounter with Medicare is a successful one. So go buy the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Now, we have been challenged. When I say we, I mean me and the audience have been challenged by Randy Carson. He has a stump the insurance guy question for us. We talked about it last time. He said the answer would take too long to concoct. We couldn't fit it into the episode that we did last time, so we're going to start it at the top of the episode this time. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Mr. Jones. Yes, I've been camped out on this question since our last podcast recording, so I'm going to go ahead and lay it on you. I know it's not a tough question for you. It just may take a little time to answer it. Now, I know you've got the answer, and I know the audience knows you've got the answer, but I'm going to lay the question on you, just like right. Karnak, the Magnificent.
I've got my sleeves rolled up. I have my turban ready to
All
go.
All right, here we go. Here we go. It's question number 4 that came from a list from our curator, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And it's question number 4. And here you go. Are you ready?
Curate that question to me.
Is Medicare Supplement and Medicare Advantage the same thing?
Ooh, boy, the age old question, produces some confusion in people approaching Medicare because these terms get thrown around, and they get thrown around sometimes by people who don't know what they're talking about. So I can understand all the confusion. But the question is, we have Medicare Advantage plans, we have Medicare Supplement plans. Are they the same thing? In a word, no. Okay, that's it. I could elaborate and elucidate.
Well, that is absolutely accurate. I would just add one more thought to it from my uninitiated perspective. Not even close.
Oh, all right. Well, Randy's going to be adding thoughts. I'll add some thoughts too. Medicare Supplement is the plan that Randy and I purchased when we crossed into Medicare, and we have never regretted the decision. Medicare Advantage is the plan with all the come-ons, the television advertising, the piles and piles of junk mail that you 64 and a half year olds will start getting. All of that stuff is an effort to draw you into the web of intrigue that is Medicare Advantage plans. My book elaborates on the differences between them, and it provides in one chapter 10 elements of Medicare Advantage plans that likely will cause the plan that you buy to disappoint you at some point in the future. And by disappoint, it could be a financial disappointment. It could be not allowing you to see a specialist about your particular medical condition disappointment. Many opportunities to be disappointed with a Medicare Advantage plan. So, yes, it is different than a Medicare Supplement plan. Medicare Supplement is the best protection one can get to go along with Medicare that they get from the federal government. So there's a little longer answer, Randy. I stretched that out a little bit more. But Randy knew the answer before I even was asked the question, because he has become an expert in Medicare after having done 500 and what, three episodes?
Yes.
So yes. It's...
I have done 503 episodes with Doug, all 503. And we've had a few guests along the way, but that's the count, 503. And one other reason that Randy knows a bit more about Medicare Advantage plans than he ever used to is because I have come up with my own way of describing them. There's Medicare Scamvantage. There's Medicare Disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably my two most popular ones.
Yep, but they are Part C of Medicare. You have Medicare Part A, you have Medicare Part B. And then some people fall for the lies and wind up with Medicare Part C. And what does that stand for?
Crap. C-R-A-P, crap, capital there, crap.
There you go. So that's an easy way to remember. If you're looking at Medicare Supplement versus that other plan is Part C of Medicare, which is crap. So let me switch horses in the middle of the stream here. Our content curator curated the heck out of an article here, and so I want to get to it because it seems like it might have some interest for many of our audience members. I don't like hanging around doctor's offices, and I don't do it, and I avoid it whenever possible. So this has never been a problem for me, but the article starts with the headline, "Why You Can't Get In to See Your Primary Care Doctor." And then they have the quote, "It's almost frightening. A wave of retirements, growing patient demand, and changing patterns of well visits are behind the crunch." And this article was written in February of 2023. Across Massachusetts, people have been struggling to make appointments with primary care physicians, with doctors saying that demand is higher than ever at a time when an increasing number of providers are leaving the field. The problems are further straining the state's health care system, potentially leaving patients sicker and in need of more intensive care down the road. The only way to provide high-quality, low-cost care is if you have a robust primary care system. This woman works for a nonprofit that is working to improve patients' experiences. We know the primary care system is increasingly unstable. When you look at the combination of factors, it's almost frightening, which is what the headline told us. The reasons for the primary care crunch include rising rates of retirement, not enough MDs entering the field, growing demand for care from a sicker population, and changes in the patterns of well visits since the start of the panic. That's pandemic for you regular people, but I call it a panic because there was no reason for all of that response to the Wuhan flu. In response, the state has been chronicling the health of the industry as it seeks to pinpoint policy decisions and further investments. Late last month, the Center for Health Information and Analysis, a state agency in Massachusetts that studies the healthcare industry, in collaboration with the Massachusetts Health Quality Partners, released new data that highlight the challenges the system is facing. In the year 2020, 3.6% of primary care physicians left the profession. Now, that was higher than the national rate of 3.3%, and one-third of primary care doctors were over the age of 60. That was a slight increase from the year 2018. Meanwhile, the share of people who said they had difficulty accessing necessary health care grew to 33.9% in 2021, from 32.4% 2 years earlier. And the rates of avoidable emergency department use grew as well. And that's always expensive. When you have people going to the emergency room because they have a runny nose and they sit around and clog up the system, that's an expensive use of a very expensive area or segment of health care delivery. Those who identify as Black or Hispanic reported the most difficulty accessing primary care. In 2021, only 64% of Hispanic residents, 70% of Black residents, 73% of Asian residents reported that they had a preventive care visit in the last 12 months, compared with 81% of white patients. Patient advocacy groups say the situation has become so dire in the immigrant communities that some children have been unable to attend school or daycare because they couldn't get their annual physicals and vaccinations. A counselor at a patient advocacy organization said that patients on MassHealth, which sounds like it might be Medicaid is what I'm trying to think of. Those patients who are on MassHealth, which might be Medicaid, and they speak no English, they have the most trouble getting appointments. Well, yeah, how are they going to ask for an appointment if they don't know how to speak English? Despite requirements for providers who accept MassHealth to make the transition services available or translation services available, many do not. If somebody can't find a provider with an opening to help these people, sometimes they call to confirm the appointment in English and cancel it when the patient cannot understand the request. If we don't have a strong foundation here, we're not going to keep people from getting sick. When they get sick, we won't easily be able to restore them to health. Salaries for primary care physicians and pediatricians also fell in the middle to the lower end of the average of all salaries for all Massachusetts physicians. And in 2022, only 23% of the students graduating from Mass medical schools plan to go into primary care. The panic has also accelerated the departure of providers, many say. In addition to retirement, some physicians have left clinical medicine altogether or gone to work for pharmaceutical companies, or to get their business degrees. Staffing shortages have compounded the difficulty of the work, contributing to burnout and causing more physicians to leave. They are leaving because it's less enjoyable to practice with short visits when you know you're not able to meet all the needs of your patients. And there's a high administrative burden. Study shows that 2 hours of paperwork and reporting for 1 hour of clinical care, that's really not a lot of fun, he says. This doctor also said different avenues for providers might be taking them away from the traditional primary care practice. A growing number of practices specialize in specific populations, such as people on Medicare. That takes providers who used to serve larger pools of diverse patients out of the market. Let's see, increasing consolidation in the market has also contributed to access problems. When formerly independent practices become part of a larger system, physician-patient loads typically grow. While that might mean more slots for new patients, it can mean make it harder to get in for a visit when something urgent comes up. Backlogs in specialty care also impact the primary care doctors. A family medicine physician said that he has noticed a dramatic increase in the wait times for his patients to see specialists over the last 6 to 9 months. Patients then return to primary care to get their needs addressed more quickly, which takes up spots for other patients, and the backlogs cascade in on one another. As more physicians leave the field, the demand for services has escalated. The panic disrupted normal patterns of annual well visits, pushing many to occur in the fall and early winter after the initial panic lockdowns had lifted in 2020. Never let those people lock us down again, ladies and gentlemen. That was just a huge, huge problem, and we just rolled over and let them do it. We should have, you know, rioted. We should have gotten the torches lit and carried the signs right up to Capitol Hill. Anyway, but that catch-up in the months after the panic has now locked in annual physicals scheduled at certain times of the year. Access can be challenging for more urgently needed care. A primary care physician in Revere, Mass., says patients are also sicker due to delays in seeking care during the height of the panic. With much of the population having contracted COVID and upwards of a fifth of infected residents developing long COVID, that too has increased demand. For those who are coming in, they have multiple medical problems that cannot be addressed in a single visit. It's created essentially a backlog of people who had been delaying care. And my curator, my professional content curator, has marked one other paragraph in this article. Changing ways of caring for patients have also encroached on physicians' time. Somebody named Garofalo, no, it's not the comedian, said that insurers have called for increasing amounts of screening, such as those for depression and oral health. And physicians also have to navigate prior authorization approvals so patients' insurance plans will cover certain services or medications. Wow. Well, that's a problem that would be solved in the free enterprise system by driving up the cost and then attracting more young doctors out of medical school to be going into the primary care physician end of things, because they would have the opportunity to earn more money. I have a feeling, though, that the medical industry in the United States is not really what one used to, would expect to be called a free enterprise occupation. I think there's so much government control and manipulation that just because they're having trouble with primary care physicians does not mean that primary care physicians are going to benefit financially from making that a career choice. And that's what would have happened in the old days, and that's what should be happening now. That will tend to solve the problem, in my opinion. I've got a little something here that I curated myself, and I'm so proud of myself because I spotted this on the AMAC newsletter that I get every morning, AMAC, Association of Mature American Citizens. They have a morning and an evening newsletter. This one, this little article here, was in the morning newsletter today, and it was four things that you should do at age 64 to prepare for Medicare. And I do get this question a lot from people. They say, well, I'm going to turn 65. What shall I do? And I can tell them how to apply for Medicare, but beyond that, you know, I can lead them to water and I can shove their face into the water. But basically, if they know what to do ahead of time, it's going to go more smoothly for them. So here are the four things that one should do at age 64 to prepare for Medicare. Turning age 64 does not come with instructions. So here are four things you should figure out before you apply for Medicare that will make the transition much smoother. Thing number one, figure out your retirement date. I think that's an excellent part of this equation that a lot of people don't figure out, and I don't think about it as often as I should to make it easy for my clients. Will you continue to work or will you retire at Medicare age? Since Social Security's idea of full retirement age is continually increasing, many seniors are opting to work past age 64. If you decide to retire, you can apply for Medicare as early as 3 months before your 65th birthday. So that's thing number one, figure out your retirement date. Thing number two, Will you keep your employer coverage if you work past age 65? If your employer offers creditable coverage, and most do, most group insurance plans are creditable, and you, if you want to keep it while you're working past age 65, be sure to ask your benefits administrator if you will continue to be covered past age 64. If not, you should consider enrolling in Medicare once you're eligible in order to avoid late penalties and to make sure you have coverage, because that would mean that you probably work for a small company. If you need to enroll in Medicare while you're continuing to work and participate in your employer's health plan, then it probably means you work for a very small company. If you work for a larger company, it's very likely that your health insurance plan will be primary to Medicare and will be the coverage that you need going forward if you continue to work. But, you know, having a talk with your HR people is never a bad idea. Number three of the four things is find out what your current plan covers and compare it with Medicare plans if you're debating keeping your employer coverage. Now, that seems like a lot of work for people who aren't really conversant with insurance. So basically what you want to do here, not find out what your current plan covers, but find out if your current plan is going to continue to cover you if you're happy with it, or do you need to enroll in Medicare because you work for a small company? I don't think anybody that's not in the insurance business is really equipped to find out what their current plan covers and then compare it to Medicare plans. Some may be, but most people will find that to be a difficult task to accomplish without special training or without some familiarity with insurance terminology. Here is thing number four. When do you want to start your Medicare? If you plan on delaying coverage, make sure that you have a plan in place, because timing is everything when it comes to applying for Medicare. You cannot have Medicare and employer coverage at the same time, but you also do not want any gaps in coverage. So be sure to work with a licensed agent. Hey, that's me, who can help you with an exit plan. Turning 64 is nothing to dread if you have a plan in place. So, yes, contact me at the email address that Randy's going to give you at the end of the episode, and you and I can work on your decision process if you would like to talk in more detail about it. And finally, connected to that were two comments. One comment, this is a person who says he was a former agent, and frankly, I hope he's gone back to school to learn English to polish up on his grammar, because he's not exactly the most fluent of writers here, but he did want to chip in on this this story that I just read you. And so I do applaud that. Even if you're illiterate, it's we welcome comments from people. So this particular comment is, as a former agent, know what Medicare supplemental is. What he means is, know what Medicare supplement is, and know that there is just a few weeks in which you can obtain it without passing a physical. Now, that's not entirely accurate, but the enthusiasm is really contagious here. Know this, learning how to select the correct Medicare plan requires as much knowledge as a 3-hour college chemistry course. It is not done by asking your wife, what do Margie and Ralph have? This decision requires work, work, and more work. It literally takes days. Okay, well, I'm going to say I disagree with this gentleman, the former agent. Maybe that's why he's a former agent. I don't think he has a clear grasp on how to make the insurance that people have to deal with when they reach Medicare age easily understandable. I don't think he knows how to simplify things, and that may be why he had to move on to a different line of work. But I would say that it's important, but it's not difficult if you have the right advisor, and that's my whole life's work, is making it simple for people. The final comment is a woman who says, I agree, knowing your plan options is important, and they do take some time to comb through. However, everyone has a six-month window following the start of your Part B to enroll in a Medicare supplement plan without going through medical underwriting. If for some reason you enrolled in Part B before you retired, you may still have a guaranteed issue right, 63-day window, to pick up certain supplement plan letter, to pick out a certain Medicare supplement plan without going through underwriting. Unless you speak to a licensed insurance agent, you may miss important enrollment deadlines or helpful plan information. Luckily, we have a team of experienced Medicare advisors ready to help here at AMAC. Okay, well, that person actually works for the Association of Mature American Citizens. So kudos to them for sharing some daylight on the selection process. Randy, we gotta call it quits. Between your lengthy question and answer session and my lengthy curated content, I think I burned up all of our 75 cents worth of time.
We did, but we didn't burn up as much of it as you might have thought. The crickets just chirped, so right on time. I mean, literally, it's just like a train coming into the station. So
cool.
Let's go ahead and thank the folks. Yeah, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate it. You know, without you, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun as it is with you. And we know you've got 100,000 other places you could have been, but you weren't. You were with us, listening, sharing a little bit of your day. Don't know whether it was morning, noon, or night with Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And we certainly enjoy having you with us. A couple things I always mention is Doug Jones, as you might imagine, is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. You can reach him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We've already talked about the various ways and the various forms that you can get a copy of his 2023 book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, which happens to have orange numbers on it. However, one thing I always ask is if you can find a way to give us a rating, we'd really appreciate it because we're always up against it. The rating wars are always on in the podcast business. So thank you for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. Now he's staying in his high altitude fortress behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I think the last time I checked, it was coming in at about 12,200 feet.
Where's my mask? Thank you for joining us today, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next time. Bye-bye.